Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never. And forgive me for my voice. You can tell it's been strained, and that's just because of I'm going through changes. Anyway, again, my wife, as she always reminds me, only I think I'm funny. But anywho, it's now or never. And please do whatever you think can assist in and actually lead as much as possible in trying to help people understand that we have every right and every opportunity to right the ship and turn this country around. And we need to actually start exercising our authority. The real problem, folks, the real problem is we are failing to engage in our self-government. You have no idea what a great government and what a great nation this nation can be if we actually did our job instead of allowing politicians to rule us. But anyway, as I always say, the debt is fraud. I mean, it's one thing if somebody gets a hold of your checking account, somebody that gets a hold of your house, your title, and they go and create debt, go get loans against your deed because they basically have forged the ownership of your deed into their name or underneath them using your name. And next thing you know, you all of a sudden have a whole bunch of financial institutions knocking on your door trying to take your home. That is fraud. How in the world can we actually have this going on where people lose their homes because of fraud? I can't believe any state legislature would actually stand there. Well, I can tell you why. Why your state legislature is doing nothing, because the lobbyists, the insurance companies, like, you know, title theft and all those types of insurance companies, they make money off you suffering and losing your property. This is not a good option. The option is that's your property. That's the only option. You can't lose your house. And you shouldn't have to suffer the legal cost, and you should not have to protect yourself because some pogue in some county or state office, some bureaucrat or real estate pogue has basically placed all these documents out there or made them accessible so somebody could come in, make a copy of your deed. Come on. I mean, these are easy problems to fix. Whose fault is it that those documents are easily accessible? Or they're easily forged? Come on. And the fact that there's nobody that's willing to do what's right and actually say you cannot. So in other words, once you put the onus onto the banks, because the banks don't care, they're just looking to make money. And if they can make, you know, several dollars on the, you know, throw out an interest or throw out a loan and they make double to three times or four times their investment, that'd be great. Just take your home, take all your property. Folks, when I say that debt is fraud, it is absolutely fraud because they don't, what they're doing, they do not have the authority to do. Period. They don't have the authority to spend the money. So we're going to get into this week because I think we'll be hitting the 16th and 17th Amendment. So listen carefully as we go through these amendments. You're going to find that there is no boogeyman there. They can't do these things. So, and this is why I don't laugh. It just frustrates me that conservative organizations go around and try to make some, oh, you got to hate the 14th Amendment. You got to hate the 16th and 17th Amendment. I mean, the 16th and 17th Amendments were bad propositions. Bad propositions. And they were designed to undermine the people because it was a bait and switch. They did one thing, but they did something else with it. In other words, they said, oh, well, we're just going to, you know, instead of having the state legislature select theirs, we're going to have you elect them. But we're not changing the role. They're still supposed to represent the state legislature because they have to have their suffrage. The Constitution guarantees that the state legislature shall maintain equal suffrage in the Senate, and they cannot lose that without their consent. And we're going to dive into all of that. So pay attention, because once you start understanding, you know, once you connect the dots, it's like once those synapses start firing, then it's there. You've got it. This becomes something that you will carry for years on end. And, you know, when you actually start dealing with people that are using hyperbole and, oh, no, all these, you know, we'll never, like Eeyore, what is it, Eeyore? We'll never make it. It's too difficult. Anyway, let's move on to, and actually, I guess there's a few things to kind of add. You know, as I look at, you know, this point in time of the year, certain things are closing out and getting done. And one of those things is the World Series. And I find it pathetic, absolutely pathetic that LA has such a dark, dank history. And California, the progressives in Los Angeles, look at the damage their paradigm or their ideology has done. I mean, let's just say it this way. The latest version of LA riots is a continuing indictment on the dangers of leftists and their paradigm and policies, and serve as a reminder of the destruction and blight that comes with those ideologies. Come on. You know, if I was a professional club, I would hate to have to, you know, operate in a town that has those types of ideologies. To think that this is okay behavior. I mean, it was never okay. I understand the need, back in the civil rights time, I understood the need for civil disobedience because that, but it wasn't property damaging. It wasn't to the magnitude of absolute anarchy and property damage and riotous behavior. Not at all. Civil disobedience was targeting, you know, restaurants or employers or companies or what have you, where they would come and sit in. They would just basically bog you down with a bunch of people that wouldn't move, that chain themselves or what have you. We see this today, you know, and I have to laugh when I saw this one guy that glued himself to the pavement, and they ended up having to chip up a big piece of pavement that stuck to his hand and let him carry that around as they as they dragged him off, creating a pothole, of course. But there's no doubt in my mind that the people that did that were, you know, were getting a good laugh at that fool's expense. Why are we doing these things? Why is it that we allow these things to happen? As a matter of fact, those people who are willing to, because civil disobedience is, you know, it's not a right. It is a violation of other rights of people. In other words, if you're going to go and block the freeway, you're going to block a road, going to block a sidewalk, the entrance of a building, you're denying the people that want to do business, whether it's an abortion clinic or what have you. I understand there has been times where we've needed it, because with the civil rights back in the 50s and 60s, civil disobedience was the most palatable, and it sent the best message. People were willing to get arrested and face the charges. But today, people don't even get arrested. It is allowed, and as a matter of fact, civil disobedience on the leftist ideology going and plummeting, or what do you want to call it, pillaging, there you go, pillaging these businesses, burning things down and destroying, you know, a property and so forth, that is not acceptable. Yet the January 6th riot, what they call the riot of January 6th, which was more of a protest. There was some property damage, but the real essence, the real violation on January 6th in 2020 was the fact that the federal government violated the Constitution by locking down the Capitol. The people have a right. They cannot make any law that abridges the right of the people to assemble and petition government for the redress of grievances, period. And so when the government said, you can't come in to petition us, that rule, that law, that policy violated the rights of the people. And nobody has ever, not one lawyer has sunk their teeth into that. Not one. Why? Because there's no money in that. It's almost like going after somebody that has really done you harm, and the cost and so forth. Well, I mean, there's, unless an ambulance chaser can make a real good pound of flesh, and I can tell you that I've had these types of problems before, and lawyers, it's all about the money for them. It's not about justice. This is the kind of system we have. We have a judiciary form of government, and the judiciary form of government is about making money or bending laws and creating, making a name for yourself. Wow, that law, I that came from me. You know, the only people who can make law in our republic are our legislators. But yet we've got lawyers now that are bending the law, twisting it, and getting the courts, because everybody's allowing this to happen. This is all fraud. They don't have the authority to do these things. When you really start looking, this is why we're working on a table of tyranny. There's a lot of things we're working on, because it's a small band of patriots. We need your help. Come on. The blood is on your hands, too. And as soon as you start waking up, as soon as everybody starts realizing that the little bit that you can contribute makes the difference, that when everybody obtains the attitude, I need to contribute something, so I'm going to do what I can, that makes the difference. Anyway, you know, another thing that's kind of come out, this is just kind of leftover stuff or feedback from the weekend and all of that. And let me just say this right now. I'm not going to dive into the outcome of the elections until Friday. Now, I'm going to, because I'm saying this now, I might as well just address it all now. I know that there are all sorts of people that are telling us that with, you know, after the election, that the leftists, because Trump's going to win, they're going to take our power, they're going to do all of these things. Now, near as I can tell, doomsday factions that have kind of, you know, I'll just say whirled in these little factions themselves. There's these little doomsday factions. Oh, this is going to cause this, and this is what's going to happen. Like the Q. You know, remember from 2016 to 2020, those, the Q followers, or all, it just, if you go back through, you'll always find that, oh, there's this rumor that the internet is going to go down, or all of our comms are going to go down, or all of our electricity is going to go down. Now, unless somebody actually is reporting something and then somebody actually goes, you know, Italian, in other words, they basically just disappear and they wash up, you know, in the Hudson River or something, that person that has forecasted that, then, okay, you know, that creates an interesting connection. But I don't see those types of things happening. And as a matter of fact, I've tried to allude to this. I don't see that kind of civil warfare. I see the ideological warfare going on, but I don't see the real civil warfare that people are trying to inject. Now, as a matter of fact, there are people out there that are trying to stoke the fire that World War III has begun. Folks, it hasn't begun if we don't allow our government to do it. If we start holding our government accountable starting tomorrow, because tomorrow's the election, it's all done. once you have voted, then you should actually start looking at who is coming out of the election as a winner. And this is what I tell people. You should congratulate those who you think are decent people, but you need to tell them that because now you're going to be taking an oath to support the Constitution, we're going to hold you accountable. Those people that you don't know too much, you know, they're a Republican, you want to make sure you strenuously, emphasize that we're going to hold you accountable. Anybody that is a rhino or anybody that's a leftist, Democrat, what have you, you congratulate them on their success in their campaign. Regardless, they don't have the authority to run agendas or compromise the law, and that we're going to hold you accountable. And then, folks, you got to deliver. You've got to actually start holding people accountable. That's all you've got to do, is start connecting the dots, and eventually you'll start getting it. And eventually, as you start getting the frustration with the rest of us, we start actually demanding that these people be removed, that we spend that time. We need to become so passionate that we become that dog holding onto that bone, that you're not going to give it up. In so doing, we will actually be initiating, whether you realize it or not, you're initiating a PR campaign. A PR campaign of anybody but this person, because this person has proven they should not be in this office. Now you've actually created a dialogue to say who is going to actually step up and do what they're supposed to do. You have 2 years if it's a 2-year seat. You have 4 years if it's a 4-year seat, and 6 years if it's a 6-year seat that just got filled. Start planning accordingly and start putting people into these positions. Start nurturing and developing those candidates that can actually be seated into those positions. This isn't hard. This is not rocket science. And thank God it's not rocket science. This is why the divine hand of providence literally gave us everything we needed, because he knew what we would be facing. And it didn't have to be complicated. And actually, it's straightforward because it's actually in the law. This isn't something that you have to look at with, this isn't moon script where you have to go out in the middle of the night with the moon illuminating and under a full moon where you get enough illumination to actually see the words, like you see in these sci-fi, these fantasy types of movies. Oh, well, wow, there you go. I think there was one with Nicolas Cage where, the Constitution had this hidden script, hidden ink on there. Come on. This is right there in the Constitution. Article 6, they have to take an oath. They are all legally required by the Constitution, not the annotated Constitution. It says this Constitution, that they must take an oath to support this Constitution. And then in that Constitution, the Bill of Rights, we have a right that they cannot abridge our right to petition them and hold them accountable. This is one of the reasons, folks, and if you're apprehensive in doing this, you don't have to provide people's names. We have a system that actually protects us from having to give government names. The Fourth Amendment means that if somebody doesn't want their name disclosed, and we just use the blanketed, we don't trust government. So we're not going to give you the names. We're telling you how many people there are. If you don't believe us, then fine. You can deal with the consequences this coming election. But if I'm telling you that 50% of this county is actually really pissed off at you, you may want to take some credence to that, because if we're saying we have that many signatures, it doesn't matter whether you see them or not. We're just telling you where we are as far as our frustration level and dealing with you, and you can just be prepared for the outcome. Because when we really look at what we're talking about as far as having a person being held accountable, because right now we don't have a law, and we don't have the ease and access to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We kind of talked about this last week when we talked about Section 3. The fact of the matter is that's got to be a part of our mantra. We need direct access to be able to remove public servants quickly and easily. It shouldn't have to take an election cycle because the law demands that they be removed. Just imagine this, folks. Go read it. You can, as soon as you fail to support the Constitution, you have no business being in that seat anymore. You have made yourself ineligible. You are no longer qualified to actually be in that seat ever. So when we start using the law for what I would say as our weapon, when we start using the Constitution as our weapon, as well as our defense or our shield, then we're actually going to win these battles. It's really that simple. Now, the other thing that, covered the election. I'm not going to cover the election until Friday because there's way too many states out there that don't even come in. I mean, I live in a state that won't have a firm, this is the person that won until at least the following week, because this is what forced mail-in voting does. You know, we used to actually be able to have the outcome the day of the election. We had a very efficient system. It required a bunch of people to volunteer. The costs were a lot lower, considering the million. Well, I mean, if you look at the system that we have and the money that the federal government is putting into it, as well as the states, it's ridiculous. But they don't report all of that money. Oh, well, you know, that's a wash. That's free money. It's not a cost to us. Hold on here. That means that we have to pay the taxes on something that somebody has no business doing in the first place. The federal government has no role within that Constitution to be involved in elections. The only thing that they're supposed to do is they're supposed to make sure that they legitimately passed. In other words, that they obtained their seat legitimately. They have to check and verify. That's the only thing that they're supposed to do. They don't have any play in, you know, the election process. And then they do get a little play if a state is unable to establish a day, time, and place. The manner of how we do our elections. They can step in if the states can't do that, but that's it. Folks, we have a government that is running amok. And they're controlling everything. They're regulating everything. As a matter of fact, that's a great lead-in for this next little rant I have, because when you've got a government defense national security system that has integrated agencies like the NSA and the CIA and so forth, that's great. We have those types of resources. But when those types of resources actually start doing basic testing and developing and innovation in how to manipulate their own people, that's really crossing the line. And as a matter of fact, we cannot allow these things to actually occur. So as anybody, if you've never heard, with Candace Owens coming out, you know, because she's out there to report, you know, to get people, I'll just say, you know, into the sound bites, the MK Ultra program. And how Kamala Harris's mother utilized that. And obviously Kamala Harris is a, you know, a byproduct, but this was research and stuff that was being developed by the CIA. Why is it that our government was doing that? The Milgram experiment, there's all sorts of experiments that they were doing to figure out how they could fool us. Where was the oversight involved in any of this? This actually speaks to how the states have really failed to put up the barriers to ensure that the government does not even come close to even looking at manipulating the people. We've got Al Gore manipulating people a long time ago over climate change. It's created a religion. And that actually goes all the way back to the 60s and even before then. We'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so if it sounds like there's some drums beating in the background, that's just because we've got a strong rainstorm hitting us. But, I mean, you know, that's what you get when you live in a place that gets lots of rain. Anyway, so the fact that we are having to have conversations regarding our own government doing research and development and manipulation of the people and so forth, that's just another indictment. It's just another indictment of how we have failed to keep check on our government. This was clearly, I'll just say, Madison and Jefferson emphasized this in 1798. This was taught to the state legislatures. This is what we're teaching today. We're actually having these courses, and I'm being bogged down. So actually, one of the things, I'll give you some good news. Over the weekend, I finally found some resources on the Congressional LOC website where it's not as easy as it used to be in going to the Congressional Globe. But it looks like what they've done is they've made improvements to the PDFs of the Congressional Globe. And you can get there, but good luck getting there. If you don't know how to massage the system by, you know, having a very specific search, you're not going to find the documents you want, especially the documents that 1700s, early 1800s, even into the mid and late 1800s. They are deliberately making it difficult. And as a matter of fact, for the past few weeks, I think it was at the mid or earlier in October, archive.com or archive.org, I think, they have the Wayback Machine and all of that. And this is a huge resource of books and articles and so forth, that if you are a researcher, you probably have an account with them. Because if you have an account, 9 times out of 10, you can get these books that they have that are, you know, available to the public domain. These are public, like government books, like the compiled laws of Wyoming. I talked about that with Tammy this past week or two. And so they have been under attack, and they have had, they're coming out and basically telling people and warning people that there has been a scrubbing of the internet. And that they were hit with a denial of service so that people could not get to data and information like TARFOX. TARFOX was a NASA program that was basically a combined effort between NASA and the University of Washington, where they started actually doing the chemtrail spraying stuff. This is back in the 90s. And they had TARFOX was up on their website. You do a TARFOX with NASA, TARFOX, all caps, and then NASA, all caps, you know, TARFOX plus NASA, however you want to do it, you'll actually find these old links, and you hit the link and it'll take you to a page where, oh, you know, that's so old, we're just archiving it. Well, why? I mean, why is it that they're archiving these things? In other words, taking them down. They're scrubbing the stuff. because back in those days, people didn't really understand what the heck they were talking about, what they were using this information for. And so this was the baseline. This was the beginning of planning to do these aerial sprays. Now, here's the interesting thing, and here's the hypocrisy, because I was just talking about Gore. Gore had gone out and said, oh, we're killing the Earth with all of this climate change. And then they go and throw heavy metals and all sorts of toxic agents up into the air, and they're killing us. All in the name of saving the planet? Well, life on the planet? No. That has been the ruse. They're not trying to save the planet. They're actually trying to create an impact that and conditions where it gets it easier for us to get sick and die. This has been a strategy and a plan that is very nefarious. That the only reason, if you really start looking at why would anybody be doing this? And why would those people on the left that promote that, and then they come up and they point their finger of judgment at you and say, how dare you operate a mine that's putting dirt up into the air, natural earth, that's getting into the rivers, that's killing the fishes because it's it's clouding their gills. Oh, and yet we're killing ourselves. And we're not only killing ourselves, we're killing all life, all animal life, fish, fowl, it doesn't matter. Those heavy metals are not supposed to be ingested. It's not natural for us to have those things in our body. It's causing very bad effects. I mean, I can't articulate this like a doctor. I mean, I've talked to doctors, and they can boom, 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 click this stuff off. Folks, that is hypocrisy. This is just another indictment of how government is not being put in check. And the real problem is that the only way we can get government in check is we have to start with our county first. You got to get your county to actually say, okay, we're not going to be doing these other things. We're not the sycophants of big government and bureaucracies. We are the representatives of the people, and we are going to protect you from these terrible, horrific policies and plans that they're executing. One of the other things I want to... let me get back to this election thing, because I found it interesting because it was just announced that the LA Times is not going to endorse Kamala, and yet the union's not... there's a lot of real left position organizations that aren't endorsing her. I'm going, well, okay, that has to say something. I mean, maybe they would much rather... So, here's the question, and this is a little analysis. Here's the question. Are we being set up to basically say, okay, they're kind of soft, they're soft pedaling on these leftists, these hard leftist organizations are soft pedaling on Kamala, so because they're okay with Trump actually winning. Regardless of who wins, America loses. But America loses much harder and faster with Kamala. Now, Trump, he's the conservative slice of control. In other words, he's the opposite side of this big government apparatus that's going to do things to us. And I think that that is where, and I spoke about this before, I think that that's really where, America gets fooled, because they think, oh, well, this is great. We've got... our dear leader who's doing good things finally for us. Well, he's not doing everything because he's allowing some of these other things like abortion, what have you. You know what? It's not about cherry picking, folks. It's about the Constitution. It's about getting government into compliance. If you're going to cherry pick on the issue and you want to get involved, don't waste people's time. The framers didn't waste people's time because Thomas Paine only wanted people to just get out there and fight. They wanted, the framers wanted people to unite on the pursuit of liberty, and there was a lot more to their effort than just getting out there and fighting. They were getting organized. They were actually, you know, not just throwing people out into the streets, but getting organized, creating a Continental Army. What Thomas Paine, because Thomas Paine was just asking people to get out there and start fighting, start doing resistance and so forth. What the framers were doing was they were actually trying to go through a methodical process of petitioning, because technically they didn't want a revolution. They loved being Englishmen, and they thought it was far better to stay in the monarchy or stay in the British Empire than it would be to actually rebel and to revolt against it. This is why they were petitioning. I can tell you, folks, and I think that there's been other historians that have said, what would have happened had the king actually had a softer heart for America and actually allowed representation in Parliament? Wow, what would have happened? Anyway, one of the things that's actually coming out, and I just want to throw this out because I didn't get a chance to report this before, but they're actually coming out and they're finding, you know, how this last pandemic was really, really bad. The vaccinations, as a matter of fact, there's an article out there, and I don't even want to cite it, but I know there's an article out there where in Canada they're actually allowing assisted suicides for people that have taken the vaccines, and it has done so much damage to them that they have this post-COVID vaccine syndrome or something like that, and they just, life's not worth living, and they're saying, oh, go ahead and, you know, euthanize yourself. This is what's happened. We, and the fact is, the government doesn't have the authority to do this. Your state doesn't even have the authority to demand vaccinations. Go check your constitution. Not one state, not one constitution within the United States has dealt where the people or the organizations that have created those constitutions have delegated to that government that authority. And look at where we are. This is a complete indictment. This is a complete indictment of how we have failed to keep our governments into compliance of the constitutions we have created for them. Understanding these things is paramount. Now, there's all sorts of court cases that are coming out, and like the BART case, which is a California, I think it's a rapid transit or something like that, where six employees, or I should say the Supreme Court has ruled that each employee will get like a million dollars in compensation or something like that. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So why is the court actually awarding people those types of things? I understand justice needs to be served. But when they start using those types of punitive, you know, like the McDonald's coffee that burnt that old lady's lap, millions of dollars? Anyway, and it's all about making a statement. So anyway, what we want to do is I want to get into, because there's all sorts of stories regarding COVID and so forth, and I want to get into making all elections local, because we need to understand this. When we look at businesses today, when you look at a business, as because I deal with a lot of different businesses, we all do, right? And we realize that there are businesses that are operating in your county that are operating on eBay. In other words, when a person sells their stuff on eBay, how much of those sales are being delivered in the local area? In other words, if this business is actually bringing money in and almost 90% of all their sales go to people, customers that are outside that county, then none of that money other than the 10% or whatever that was that he sold to people within the county should be applicable out of those profits. That's the only money he can actually use. I'm saying this because, you know, you don't have to be, clairvoyant to understand how Amazon could easily put or subsidize a seller in a county area to actually start funneling money into that seller to say, okay, well, you're selling, and let's say we give you some rewards and we give you money so that because you're actually a brick and mortar seller, but your presence is on Amazon and that's where you're selling everything, where they can backdoor funneling money into a county election. This is why when we talk about foreign influence, we need to make sure that the money comes from within. It has to be organic. In other words, we can't allow Walmart to start funneling profits out of the world profits into certain states or what have you, because they can easily do that. We need to create an accounting nightmare for every company that actually operates over the internet and so forth, so that they have to fully account for every dollar that they've made, and then they have to basically prove what is legitimate, what money they've made that's legitimately available for them to contribute into the campaigns. If we do that, then there's no way you're going to be able to be overwhelmed by millions and millions of dollars out of state. Because you know as well as I do, in Wyoming, there may be people that are rich, but they just don't make that kind of money. Not in their sales, not in their retail. And Walmart makes billions of dollars. These are billion-dollar industries because they sell worldwide. The only reason that they're in Wyoming is to take away and destroy the local market. It really was. This is one of the reasons why they're very slow about actually putting in more and more, because 9 times out of 10, I'll bet you anything, that Walmart that is in Wyoming, it probably barely makes a profit. Probably barely makes a profit. So if it doesn't make a profit, but they're in there, why are they there? They're in there because they're a parasite. They're in there to destroy local channels of distribution and local channels of retail so that you have to buy from them. Because eventually when they say you can't have it, you won't get it, because they're the only ones left that have their little tentacles to be able to bring these different products to you. This is a real tragedy that has happened. I mean, most people back in the early 2000s and on didn't realize how this was going to play out. Nobody saw that we were going to have this pandemic. Not that they weren't telling us that they were going to do it. They were telling us. And as we got closer and closer, I don't think anybody ever just said, oh my gosh, had people started realizing sooner, I think that there would have been more effort by patriots. But nobody has that crystal ball. Nobody's that clairvoyant to be able to say, wow, this is a huge deal. Well, it is a huge deal, folks. And we have to take these things back. We have to actually start restoring family farms. We have to start restoring family businesses. I have a friend that retired from the Marine Corps that had a bar business down in Northern California. And because of COVID, there's no doubt in my mind, because of COVID, and actually, let me just say this, because my friend actually made a comment about receiving 8 ballots for the 2 voters that lived in their home for the primary. 8 ballots. Then they said, boy, what are they doing? Are they telling us to actually do voter fraud? That was earlier on in that year. And then surprise, surprise. Now, there may have already been pushes and cutbacks and everything else, but surprise, surprise, shortly after that, they ended up having to do a mad sale because they couldn't keep the business afloat anymore. Now, overall, there's no doubt in my mind COVID did that, but I'm just telling you that when we look at how government is starting to use the election system to control their outcomes, to basically keep on pushing us and driving us down to becoming dependent on the state, that's communism. and we have communist governments and ideologues that are operating our government. Kamala Harris is one of them. Now, we have autocrats as well. You know, you're going to do it my way. You know, I'll allow you to have some peace or you know, some liberties, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you got to do what I tell you to do. I mean, Trump's an autocrat. You live in the military, you live in those types of businesses or those types of environments, you understand where autocracy is needed. But in politics, in America, under our Constitution, with limited and defined government, autocracy is limited and defined. Period. Again, sorry for the strained voice. One of the things we also want to do is we basically, as we're talking about areas of election, we want to make sure that the contributions, again, going in are only profits from within, organic. This means that organizations like PACs can't funnel move money and merchandise and any type of contributions in. It also goes into this concept, and I know I said this before. We cannot allow celebrities to come in and say, vote for this person. That right there is affluence. Whether it's financial affluence or appeal or what have you, it is wrong. And so it's like Taylor Swift coming into your state and county and saying, I'm really supporting this person. That cannot happen. Because Taylor Swift, if she's not able to vote in that election, then it's one thing to say what you want, but it's another thing to actually influence as a foreigner, because you're considered a foreigner. This is why we have to clarify and really create this, because it's not about speech. It's about foreign influence. And we have to make sure that if, you know, it's one thing to say what you want to say about the Constitution and we want fair and honest elections. I mean, that's okay. Or if you actually institute testing and say, I recommend voting for those people who tested the highest. That's not creating a point-to-point connection of influencing an election. As a matter of fact, if somebody came along and said, hey, GR, who would you, out of our election, who would you guess? I go, do you have a test system? Yeah, we do. Is it the constitutional? How's the test? Oh, yeah, it's constitutional, it's focused, and so forth. And I go, well, who scored highest? Well, that person, well, that's the person I would vote for, because I would basically vote on that person's abilities that's proven by that test. It doesn't even matter what that person's name is. I would just say, whoever scored the highest, this is not actually going into influence. Would you, out of the surgeons that you're going to select, because I think Thomas Sowell made this comment in one of his books, would you pick the surgeon that barely got through, you know, surgical school and all of his education, had a terrible GPA and barely passed. It took him 4 or 5 times to pass the medical exam to be able to practice medicine. Would you actually pick that guy over the guy that just, you know, was a genius, got great grades and, you know, became a doctor on his first attempt? You're going to pick the best. That is not what I would consider, you know, pandering, or that's not misleading at all. There's a better way to put it. When we want the best, we pick the best. And when we look at who's the best, it has nothing to do with party. It has everything to do with their abilities, their education, and so forth. You're not going to hire somebody that's going to just come into your home and damage your home, or that could possibly kill you. You're going to hire that person that you can actually trust, because they've proven by some test or exam that they know what they're doing. That's what we need. Just keep in mind, folks, that the people who create standards for professions are your legislators. I mean, there are groups out there, like the plumbers and so forth, that say, okay, for a plumber to really know his job, he needs to know these types of things. And then the legislators go, okay, well, we'll create the standards for that so that, you know, that person has to know those things. And in some cases, they actually have continuing education. Like in medicine and so forth, you actually, or law, you have to have continuing education. So why is it that our legislators are not held to those same kind of standards? Oh, but they want to hold us to these standards, but them, oh, they get to be free to make themselves money. And as a matter of fact, there's a way to even cap that of the as far as the money that they make. I'm okay with actually making it so, but I don't think you have to. I don't think we need to create all of these, what do you want to call them? An audit and a thorough exam of finances, resources, and all of that, and look at them that way. I mean, I'm okay with somebody on the side being able to make money that has nothing to do with their public service job. You know, maybe they're an inventor or what have you. But when they're making stock options and purchases and sells and so forth based on the information that they have, insider trading, that is illegal and unconscionable. But even the stock market itself is a problem, folks, because the fact that it's even regulated, I highly recommend that if you start looking, why is it that every state doesn't have their own stock exchange? Why is it that everybody is pouring money into New York or these unique exchanges in very physical locations? Everybody needs to have why is it that you're bolstering and banking on that state instead of actually doing it yourselves? Are we better off having these monopolies or these, you know, monolithic, you know, exchanges? Or are we better off everybody having their own? Because if everybody's focused in building Nebraska, I believe all the Nebraskanites would actually be, and you know what? Anybody that can want to go into that can do that. Why would you go into New York other than the fact that this is where the globalists are? And as far as, again, we look at how the federal government has regulated this, this is how they've been able to protect themselves. The globalists have been able to protect themselves. They've created laws that actually go after the smaller companies, Sarbanes-Oxley and so forth, that make it hard, if not like the ADA laws as well. They make it hard for the small entering companies who don't have the millions of dollars to do all the filing and the razzle-dazzle that's required in paperwork or what have you with Sarbanes-Oxley. That, you know, creates a threshold for you to get involved. So when we want to wrap up, and I hope to wrap up, but the bottom line is this, and let me just plant the seed. I'll wrap up the next time we have this talk. I just want to plant this seed. When we understand republicanism and a republican form of government, those are your representatives. Who has access to them, whether they be a candidate or whether they be in office, is key. And we need to actually start looking, as once they get in office, who should be knocking on the door and talking to them. We'll bring this back up on Friday, but we will be talking about the election then. I'm J.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.